And finally tonight, someone defaced the Obama campaign office in Des Moines, Iowa, Wednesday night by spray-painting the words Muslim liar on a large banner, according to local police. The word liar was misspelled on the sign, a blue banner, 6 by 8 feet. The words were written in red spray paint. The same message was reportedly spray-painted near the Iowa State Fairgrounds earlier in the week. Platel Benjamin unravels who is playing the race card in Race, Romney, and the Republican Party in his commentary tonight.
While Mitt Romney's chief surrogate, Crazy John Sununu, fires racist innuendos aimed at President Obama as the election draws near, the Republicans reveal their true character as the party of angry white racists and greedy Wall Street bankers. This is a bizarre political formation, a party that defends the interests of the plutocrats while its mass base is composed of poor whites. It is the party of Abraham Lincoln and was roundly hated by whites but loved by black people when I was a boy growing up in Florida. Afro-Americans love the grand old party for the simple reason that they oppose the Dixiecrats, the southern branch of the Democratic Party that was populated by unapologetic white racists who favored maintaining a legal racial caste system based on white supremacy. But in the half century since I quit Florida, the Democrats have become the hated party of the white majority, while the Republicans are flourishing. This radical transformation of political allegiance was sparked by the critical role Democrats played in passing civil rights legislation that destroyed the evil but legal caste system. President Lyndon Johnson, who signed the civil rights bill legislation into law, told his press secretary Bill Moyers after signing the 1965 Voting Rights Act that radically changed the political landscape of the South, the Democrats would lose the region to Republicans for a generation. He was right, but it has lasted longer than a generation. Although the old de jure racial caste system has been destroyed, and millions of whites would give a year off their lives to be able to hang out with Jay-Z and Beyonce or LeBron James, and millions more would jump at the chance to spend an evening with the elegant and brilliant black first family in the White House. Alas, deep-seated racial feelings and resentment over black success linger among poor, working class, and especially elderly whites all over America, whose world has all but disappeared. They view the election of Barack Obama to the presidency as irrefutable evidence that the world they grew up in is gone with the wind. That's why we hear the constant, pitiful, and irrational cry about taking our country back. The rabid racists who cannot reconcile themselves to this unprecedented development in American politics that put a member of America's traditionally untouchable caste in the Oval Office, a great leap forward, may number over half the white population. Since the princes and powers of the Grand Obstructionist Party know that they must attract a good percentage of this untutored mob in order to win national elections, they have been increasingly hostile, disrespectful, and openly racist towards President Obama, shamelessly employing age-old racial stereotypes. Within the last 2 days, Crazy John Sununu, whose status as a white man would have been an iffy proposition in Florida back in the day, has basically called the president a lazy coon who is too stupid to carry out the duties of his office. Rush Limbaugh, the philosopher king of the ignorant, racist, powerless white mob that comprised the Republican base, said yesterday that the president is unqualified because he's never had to earn anything in his life, unlike Mitt Romney and George Bush, for instance. And former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich, said Barack is not a real president at all because he doesn't do the things a real president is supposed to do. This is the electoral strategy of the Grand Obstructionist Party, endorsed by the Mormon bishop who leads them at the dawning of the 21st century. In 1900, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois predicted the color line would be the central problem of the 20th century. Over 100 years later, that line has been largely erased and is somewhat invisible. Yet color remains a problem in the United States, and the Grand Obstructionist Party is making the most of it. From New York City, this is Platel Benjamin with a commentary on the Times.